Margie Oppenheimer, Reel One. And if I could ask you first of all, Margie, to tell me something about your family background, this would be before Hitler came to power even, where your family were living and how long they had been there, what sort of family it was.
My father was born in that city, and my mother was born in another city, and when she married, of course, she came to Olde. And they owned a little small department store, which was previously owned by my grandfather. But my grandfather had died, and so my father took over the business. And my father had been in the First World War and was wounded, but they married after the war. They married in 1920. I have a brother and a sister. And my grandmother lived in the same building, my father's mother, the same building with us. Was a house on the bottom floor of the store. We lived in the first apartment or first floor, and my grandmother on the second floor. And 1928, my father became ill. First they didn't know what it was, he had many tests, and it came out that due to the injuries that he had in the war, he had a shrapnel in his body and settled on his brain and could not be operated, and he became bad and had to be institutionalized. That's short. I don't have the whole story. So my mother tried to take over the business and keep the business and made pretty good of it. She worked like a workaholic, had no outside activity. For her it was work, and nothing else. But she made sure that the children were very well taken care of. We had a lovely help in the house, a very young lady, a very capable lady who raised us. We have to thank her for what we are today, because she raised us while my mother was working. And I think it was a little much for my mother, the store, the three children, my grandmother, who was already invalid because she was not that old, but she was very handicapped with all kinds of handicaps. So a brother of my father, who lived in Stettin, which is near Berlin, adopted my older sister, and she went to live there. So my mother only had the two of us, my brother and me.
Were you a religious family?
No. My grandmother was very religious. My mother, no.
Were you brought up, though, to observe Jewish holidays and any rituals? So did you have a Jewish identity?
Not for long. Well, you know, I'm writing a book for myself, not for publicity, but for my children. Because in the tapes that I have given, I am not specific. I give what they ask me. And there are certain things that I did not want to bring into it, and especially this one, because it was bothering me. Now, until I was 9 years old, I thought I was Catholic. I went to a Catholic school, and I went to church. I learned all the Catholic prayers, all the Catholic rituals. And when my class was supposed to go to First Communion, I took the classes also. And I was looking forward to that day. However, the priest called me to the pulpit, and I said that I did something very wrong. The priest will not call me to the pulpit if I was a good girl. But he must have noticed, and he said, "Don't be frightened, you haven't done anything wrong." But he talked silently, quietly to me, so the class would not hear. And he said, you cannot go with the class to First Communion. I said, why not? He said, go and ask your mother. I asked my mother. She didn't tell me. She said, this is the only thing she said, we are Jewish. I had no idea what it meant. What was Jewish? What's the difference? Why can't I go to communion? She would not answer me. I asked our Anna, that was the help in the house. She said, because you're Jewish. I said, what does it mean? Well, all I could find out was that it was a different religion, but from that time on, I was very heartbroken and very insecure and very emotional. I was feeling, I can't think of the word again. Anyway, I was unhappy. And this was like 1934, maybe.
Was there, do you know, I mean, obviously you had very little sense of your Jewish identity, but would you have known if there was anti-Semitism about at the time to understand your mother's viewpoint?
Not until then. Now I know, I meant I lived in doubt. I was insecure and lived in doubt. So, until then, no. I had a couple of friends and they were very nice and they played with me, we played together, and sometimes I could go to the girls' house or they came to our house. But after that, it started, after 1935, I would say. Children would not associate with me anymore. They treated me like an outsider. They treated me like I was sick or something, like I didn't belong. And I had one teacher who was not very nice. In fact, at one point, the teacher asked the children, what is the bishop's name in our district? And I raised my hand. She just ignored it. But I kept my hand up. None of the kids knew. I kept my hand up. She asked again and again and again. When she didn't ask me, I blurted it out. And she said, you are wrong, and you write 100 times, I mustn't blurt out any answers. And my mother had to sign it. So I did that, and mother asked why. And I said, because I blurted out the name of the bishop. Is it wrong? Well, I can't remember the name now. Is this the bishop of our district? She said, yes. But the teacher said it was wrong. So that was actually the beginning. But from that time on, there was another teacher who was not nice, and there was one girl, this happened also in school, there was one girl who was so beautiful, and her hair was always just like she came from a beauty shop. And I asked her, what do you do to your hair? You always look so beautiful. And she was afraid to answer me already too. So I use hair cream. That's all she said. And I went home that day. The next morning, my father had like a little bottle of something standing on the in the bathroom on the, can't think of it, where you wash yourself. And it said hair cream. And I was so proud. Mother didn't say anything. Our Anna really didn't say anything. But I came to school and the teacher comes, who stinks? Who stinks up this room? Nobody said anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't know it was me. So she went through the rows and to smell everybody. When she came to me, here she is, the Jew bug. The Jew child. Go home and take a bath and don't you ever come back and stink up to school again. There was another incident, and this went on and on, you know, not every day, but one time, I mean, we had math tests every day, and I told you, I was so much for Catholicism, and if we would have had 10 times zero mistakes, we would get a holy picture, and I really wanted a holy picture, and I must have said that to one of the girls. We exchanged our slates, and they should write down if we had mistakes or not. And this girl wrote down zero mistakes. This time the teacher collected the slates, and I had about three or four wrong answers. And she asked the girl, why did you do that? Margie asked me to. So I came, she called me to the one, and I don't know if you ever knew that, but they had like a bamboo stick, and we get slapped through the hand. I got 10 lashes through each hand, and I had to write 100 times I mustn't lie. And my mother had to sign it, and this happened to be over Yom Kippur. Now, I had no idea what Yom Kippur was at that time. Anyway, those the little incidents that happened in school. Otherwise, the children became really more agitating, and just they ignored me and everything. And I didn't want to go to school anymore, but I had to. There was no other way. So when I was about in fourth grade, my mother took me to another school. It was junior high for girls, and there the teachers were very, very nice. One in particular, she wanted to do everything for me, and she didn't make me feel that I was not wanted or not liked. And the kids were equally nice, but they didn't associate with me, but they also did not, they also were not nasty. So we always had to raise the flag, hoist the flag every morning instead of prayer. And this teacher says to me, you go and hoist the flag. I said, I can't do that. She said, I tell you to do it, and you do it. And I did it. I knew I was not supposed to do it. So no sooner did I start hoisting it, comes the teacher from the Protestant school, who was the biggest Nazi in our town. And he came, and he chased me into the bed, and he said, you damn Jew, you are dirtying our flag, what are you doing? And the teacher said, I gave her the order. And he said, then you are not any better, and if you do it once more, you're going to end up in a concentration camp. And I I couldn't go to school for 3 days, suspended. I was suspended for 3 days, and then I went back. But this was about the last straw in the school that happened, because then I said to my mother, I don't want to go anymore. And I was only 7 years in school. And then I helped my mother in the store. I was an apprentice in the store, which was very nice. I mean, I wasn't attacked like I was in school, and things didn't happen.
How about your mother? You know, were things getting more difficult for her, would you say?
My mother, in general, no. She was a strong believer, like I said, and she did not think anybody would do her any harm. She still had customers who favored to come to her. Also, the store was closed several times for one or another reason, I don't know exactly. But it was closed by the party people. And she hoped that God would help. God will help, nothing will happen. And she was lucky in that respect. I mean, there was another Jewish store, a men's store, and they're the same way. The Jewish people did not think that anybody would harm them. And I'll tell you some other incidents later. My mother still wouldn't believe that anybody would harm them. Then this was 37, 38 was the 9th of November. And like I said, I was in the apprentice in the store. And I don't know if it is in England, but in Germany you had to take care of the street and the cycle by our property. We had to keep the street clean and sweep it and everything. And Wednesday was always a special day to sweep the street, which I was doing. Then again this particular Nazi walked by and he saw a lady walking into our store. went across the street and he shook that lady and he said, don't you know that you are not supposed to bring your money to the foreigners? And she says, yes, I do, but I don't care. And she went into the store. So that was early during the day, on the 9th of November. And the day went by like any other day, and I know in the evening I had an English teacher come and teach me English, and he went home like about maybe 8 o'clock at night, and 9 o'clock you could hear the soldiers, you know, they had like meetings and they would walk by our house always, and they had this special song they were singing, in which there was a line, hang the Jews and put the bonds against the wall, you know. And then they marched to this, you know, to their meeting place. And my mother had decided she was going to bake cookies. She never did anything like that. But the lady that was with us at the time, her boyfriend was a baker and he came and helped bake cookies. And I went to bed. And about 11 o'clock, I hear again the singing and didn't pay much attention to it like any other time. But then all of a sudden, there's one Nazi standing right in front of me with the rifle in my face. Get up and get dressed. I said, I'm not dressing myself in front of you. I don't know where I took the guts to say that. He said, get up and get dressed. And he went to my brother and told him the same thing. And he went out of the room. But then you could hear the glass being smashed downstairs in the store. All the windows were smashed. And it was impossible. The glass was shattering. And when they came into the house, a whole bunch of them, they threw furniture down. They threw a radio through the window. They wanted to throw the piano through the window. They cut the couches, and by my bedroom there was, my mother had this little cabinet where we had eggs and butter and stuff like that stored. They knocked that down and the eggs were all on the floor. And then they came and took my mother and my brother and wanted to take them to prison. And by that time, our grandmother lived already with us in our apartment, and I went to her, and she was stone deaf. And we had to write everything when we wanted to converse with her. I had nothing to write with, and she says to me, get these bandits out of here. And I tried to explain to her, I can't, impossible. Well, I think by the time they wouldn't leave, she must have realized something was wrong. And I still was looking for something to write, but I couldn't. But I was with my grandmother. Now about 10 minutes later, my mother and my brother came back up. They didn't, I don't know, somebody didn't want her to go to prison. So my mother took me out of my grandmother's room. We went to her bedroom. When she pulled up the shades, stood in the window, and my brother and I thought she was going to jump. And she said, God have mercy, they do not know what they are doing. That's my mother. I tried to pull her back and she did come back. I don't think she wanted to jump. She just wanted to make herself seen and wanted to talk to God because she was a God believer.
Well, was she a Catholic, your mother?
No, not yet, but later on, yes. She was Jewish. Both her parents were Jewish. The father owned a butcher store and they did their own slaughtering. They were not Orthodox, but they were Jewish. But my mother had her own beliefs. And I remember at one time she was, that was the only time, she had come from shopping for the store, you know, getting merchandise, and she came back and she was sick. And she got into the hospital. She had to go to the hospital. That's the only time mother was sick in all these years that I knew her. She had a hernia. She had to be operated. And after that, she went for a cure into one of these whatever cure places. And I visited her, and she says to me, I would like you to go to America. I said, no, but you can go with the nuns. They will take care of you. I said, Mother, I don't want to go by myself to America. But she wanted me to go. I said, no, Mother, I'm going to stay right here, and I do not want to go with nuns either. So my mother had always this urge to be Catholic. And I don't know, was it out of conviction, or was it to save herself, or just to save us? I don't know. I believe it was out of conviction, but she never did it until my father was sent to the camp. It was in 1941. That's when she converted. So I was very unhappy when I found out, because by that time I had found my way, I had found my niche. I was in a Jewish orphanage. I should really backtrack it and tell you the whole story. After the 9th of November, there was nothing for us to do. I mean, everything was smashed and everything was demolished. And my aunt, my grandmother's daughter came to pick us up to take us to Cologne, that's where she lived. And I stayed there for a while with my grandmother, and my mother and my aunt went back to Olga. And after maybe a month or two, I went back to Olga too. And we were sitting in the kitchen. That was the only room that we had. And that's all we had. My aunt, an aunt, a cousin of my mother, and my mother, and I. We were sitting in the kitchen. My brother stayed in Köln because he went to school there, to a Jewish school. Köln is Cologne. And I begged my mother, please let me become a nurse. Please let me become a nurse. No child of mine is going to be a nurse. She had said that all along. I had that dream since I was 10 years old. I wanted to be a nurse. And, well, you know, there was nothing to do after the 9th of November. And 1939, she finally gave in. And I got to Cologne in this Orthodox orphanage, Jewish orphanage. And for the first time, I felt I belong. This is where I belong. I was so happy. And we had our own little synagogue. We had all these children, lots of orphans, and a lot of other children. It was beautiful. And in 1941, around Passover, the director from the orphanage came. I was on night shift at the time. He came and he said, I give you a few days vacation, you can go home. I said, why? He said, your father passed away. He was sent to, actually, to Lublin, but they never got there. Lublin was a camp. They were here. Anyway, he gave me off for a few days, and I went home with my mother again and my aunt. Meanwhile, they had put other people into our building, other Jewish people, because they wanted the Jews to be confined. And I stayed for a couple of days and then I went back. And no sooner did I get back, the orphanage was liquidated. The babies were sent to the Jewish hospital in Cologne, and the other children were divided in various places. And we took care of them there.
Before you go on, you know, with from 1941, of course the war had started in 1939.
This is all before 1941.
Yes, but so it's between the outbreak of war and before, yes.
Yeah, early in 1941 was when the orphanage was liquidated.
Yes.
So shortly after I came back from the visit with my mother.
Had the outbreak of war in 1939, had that affected you in any dramatic way?
I mean, they have come up with all kinds of other things. I mean, Jewish people had certain times when they could go shopping, they had curfew, to observe curfew. And also they got us new ID cards with a J and it meaning Jew. And all the ladies got the name Sarah attached to their name, and the men Israel. So my name was not, it was actually Margaret Sarah Hoffman. And men, my father for instance, Hugo Israel Hoffman, that's my brother, Hans Israel Hoffman. So, and all this, you know, they came up with other things to put pressure on us or whatever. I can't think of the English word. Mm.
Yes. Did you find, you know, given all these, the increasing sort of repression that you were going through and the pressure, as you say, that the orphanage was a little haven for you? Was
oh,
that?
Definitely. I mean, we had the same restrictions, but I lived in the orphanage. I didn't have to go outdoors. I didn't have to look for an apartment or anything. But when it was liquidated, then, yes, I went to my aunt's house, who didn't live far, and she gave two other girls that were with me and me a room in the, I don't know what you call it in English, under the roof.
Oh, a sort of attic room,
attic
was it?
Room.
Yes.
Right. And we lived there. And I still would go to work. And in October, my aunt, October 41, my aunt was on the transport. That was about the first transport I can remember in Cologne. And it was shipped to Witzmannstadt or Lodz. And I was also on the transport, but it wasn't very well organized, and I could still disappear or escape rather the better with. And of course we had the star already, you know, the star was blue inside. And I took it off and I went to find my brother, and then by night the two of us went in the train and we went home to my mother. And because at night the train station wasn't very well watched in our town, so we could just go through and not be noticed. And this is how we got to my mother. And it was October, and in December my aunt, my mother, my brother and I were sent on the transport to Riga. And so were all the other Jewish people that were still in our town.
Were you given any preparation for that?
No, they always would tell us that we could pack a trunk and take anything what we wanted, not everything that we wanted, but certain things like bed linens and table linens and towels and stuff like that, we could take with us. And so my mother packed a very nice trunk, which of course was taken away from us the minute we got to the settlement. I'll tell you that later. And we were told that we're going to work for farmers, and we will have it good, we will have good food, and we will have it good. We believed them, we trusted in them. On the 10th of December, 1941, 7 o'clock sharp in the morning, here comes our mayor in his brown uniform with his boots, and he said, "It's time for you to leave now. You can take what is on your body and you can take one bag." Now, we had one very big bag packed with just food, lots of food. And we wanted to keep on this bag that nobody would take it from us. We had until it could be alive. And when we got forced into the truck, there were already a couple of people in there that they had collected from the villages. There were villages around our town where there were a couple of Jewish people. But from our town, we were the first to get into the truck. And then there was this elderly lady still living with us, and she was not going with us in the truck, and she wanted to hang on to her bed cover.